Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ignorant Millennials podcast.
Welcome.
Unedited, unmastered.
Uncut.
I'm your host, Kat, here with my co-host, Andrew.
What's up?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Long day at work. Tired. But I mean, we're here to chat, right?
Yeah, we're here to chat. Fortunately, no load shedding today. Unpredictable environment we live in South Africa.
But I mean, how long do you think this is going to last for? The no load shedding part of it.
Yeah. I think after the elections, if the ANC retains the majority.
Of course, the ANC is going to retain. They'll still be in charge, right? That's not going to change. But I mean, I'm hoping for a shift.
And then load shedding will be there after the elections.
So you're saying the load shedding is directly linked to whomever's in power?
Look, I'll say we're getting that topic some other time. But I think right now,
let's give
our viewers background of why we're doing this and what this is about.
Okay. So I mean, you and I chat a lot about everything and anything that happens in our country.
Yeah.
All the time, what affects us, what we think about, and what we've quickly realized is that there's a lot that we don't know.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And if there's a lot that we don't know, we almost are a mirror of the youth of South Africa as well. Meaning that there's a lot of us who know a lot of things, but there's also a bigger amount of things that we don't know. So,
100%.
So, what are we trying to achieve in this podcast platform? Let's call it a platform.
Yeah, 100%. So, what are we trying to achieve in this platform, ladies and gentlemen? It's pretty simple. We're just trying to voice out our opinions, you know, a place where we all place our opinions, educate ourselves as the youth, because we're part of the youths. We're not 40, we're not 30.
not 30 yet. So we're at like the latter end of our youth.
Yes.
Mid to latter end of our youth. But also youth is a state of mind, right?
We're
affected by everything and anything that's happening right now.
Definitely. I mean, look at them, DJ Mahuta, man.
Yes,
some
yes.
say he's still a youth. You know what I'm talking about?
That's a vampire, man. I want whatever he's taking. I want whatever he's using. I mean, he's over 55 now.
Yeah, apparently.
That's just too old, man. But yeah. I mean, Pharrell has survived for as long as he has. But now, oh my God.
Yeah, she look fire. Ladies
and gentlemen,
playing on the background is MTV bass. Yes.
What's this girl's name? This is Pharaoh something.
Yeah.
That's I didn't know she looks like this,
bruh.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's not get distracted. So okay, so on our platform, what are some of the things that we are going to cover or would like to cover?
All right. So every week we'll be covering issues relating to finance, lifestyle,
of course,
music,
definitely,
and politics.
Oh, goes without saying.
Yeah, because these are the things that shape us as the youth. These are the things we're interested in as the youth. And it's very important that we actually touch on the financial aspect, especially because we are of the generation that's fighting for economic freedom.
Ooh. Are you hinting at who you're voting for?
I'm not hinting at who I'm voting for.
So you're not voting for them?
I'm not saying who I'm voting for. I believe my vote is my secret.
Fair. But, I mean, whether you're voting for them or not, what they're about is still a very vital point of discussion within the context that we find ourselves in South Africa today. So all of these political parties and ideologies are all important. We should at least be able to have an open discussion about all of them.
No, definitely.
And that's what we're trying to do, right?
Definitely.
And to everyone listening to this, we are inviting you, encouraging you to please be part of what we're trying to achieve, which is ultimately information, We want to share it. We want to spread it. We want to gain it. We just want to spread it out and understand that the more informed you are, the more empowered you are.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. That's what this is about. You know, when you ask me about economic freedom and what I'm voting for, is this that you need to understand from a South African landscape, politically, 1994, many people would tell you about was about political emancipation but or political it? Freedom.
And was being, it really?
It was. Politically, we were able to vote. Okay. Right now, we able to live where white people folk live. We able to apply for the same jobs, whether or not we always get them.
Yeah.
Or when we get them, it's we get else. The same responsibilities that we would have if we were white. That's something else. But those were the phases. After 94 was political, and now we're in the economic emancipation. And this is going to be your technological emancipation and whatever, fourth industrial revolution. We'll talk about that. But speaking of the economic emancipation, I want us to touch on, I was looking on the news earlier.
Yeah.
Capitec.
Let's jump right straight into it.
Yeah.
Capitec, what did you think? To give everyone background, so Capitec, they released their results, right?
Yes, they released their annual financial results for the 2018 financial year. And 2019. So I was shocked. I'll tell you this much.
Results?
Yeah. I always believed that Capitec was an overpriced stock.
I don't understand why you felt that way. They've been consistently delivering good results. Consistently. And let me rather allow you to share what.
So I don't know if any of you guys follow shares. If you don't at all.
Yeah.
I believe especially if you're banking, and which as you're South African, any normal South African, you should be have a bank where you're placing your money. Unless you're hiding it. So I think it's your responsibility to know how well your bank is performing, so you don't find yourself in an African bank or whatever situation. So it's always good to keep track of these things. So I'll say I was shocked with regards to Capitec. The reason I felt that it's overpriced is because it's trading 10 times the value of the big four banks.
Because this is an informative platform and we want to learn as much as we want to inform others, when you say trading 10 times as much as the other banks, what can you explain to our listeners what you mean by that?
So take Capitec's share price. Capitec's share price is currently at $1,000 and something. And currently, right now, you look at your likes of your Standard Banks, 190. Look at the likes of your Absa's, 150. The First Rand Group, slightly just below 100. Then you look at your likes of your Investec, also in your hundreds. So one has to ask themselves. I mean, look at that, 1,340 rands. So look at that, like. There's a new player in the market.
Okay.
It is a new player in the market. So that offers no credit, right?
So aren't they granting microloans now?
Yeah, they've grown to microloans. But what I'll say is, so in terms of if we look at the asset base, and so the asset base in terms of the cash that they have, you can have whatever millions of customers, but if you those customers are not customers who are salary based with you, for example, I don't believe a lot of Capitec clients, the salary clocks goes into Capitec, because a lot of them need to apply for mortgages and so forth. And if you're really smart, if you want to apply for a mortgage, it's to your disadvantage somewhat if you're not banking with that bank, because they would you, because one of the reasons when you're applying for a mortgage or any type of loan or vehicle, you can always be like, but I've been banking with you guys for 15 years and this what and whatever. So right now, if I'm banking with Capitec, all my debit orders or everything else, then I want to apply for vehicle finance. Capitec don't offer that. Now I go to Standard Bank. If they say, here's you want finance for your A-class, it's 15% we're giving you. Standard Bank apps, so they gave me the same rate. What is my argument? What am I going to say? Like, okay, this is why you should give me. We all know that that's the card where everybody plays. If you've never played that card.
Okay, so I mean, we were talking earlier about the result, right?
Yeah.
And you told me that part of the results they announced how many retail clients they now have.
Yes.
So what is the retail client of Capitec there for? How have they been able to, number one, attract so many people? Yes. And what are they attracting those people to if they're not offering all of these traditional banking products?
So that's a very good question. And I think it's one of those things, like, if any Capitec users, please hit us up in our comment.
Yes.
Let us know why you're using Capitec. But I've used Capitec before.
Yeah, where did you go?
I went primarily, simple as that. Like, I was banking with another bank. Okay. Famous bank, sponsors soccer leagues, basically. My issue with them is that, like, my banking fees, so you pay for a bundle. My issue with it is, like, across all the big four banks or whatever. Okay. You pay for a bundle, they tell you 99 rand or 200 rand, whatever. It's these bundle pricing. But the problem with these bundle pricing is that if you're employed and working, you're going to go up over that bundle, right?
Okay.
Especially if you have a car and whatever, and you supporting your family, whatever it is, and so forth, right? You're gonna go beyond that bundle, and especially if you're youth, I can tell you're gonna go beyond that bundle because you transact a lot, right?
So in this bundle, right, that I'm assuming is this bundle offering, like, was it a common practice across all the other banks as well?
It is. So you say, for example, if you're on Gold Card, here's a Gold Rand, whatever, you pay 99 rand or whatever. If you're on Platinum, you pay 400 rand. That's a monthly bundle fee, whatever. Okay. But that bundle obviously does not cover for any. If you go above the band, the bundle, that's where you find out.
So in the bundle,
yes,
are like a standard or base set of products or functionalities or facilities provided in your everyday banking, that if you then exceed those base offerings, you then get charged more.
Yeah. Okay. So you'll find that, like, there'll be like your first five withdrawals are free and so forth. I mean, we youth, man, you know you need to withdraw. You cannot go, like, to a festival relying solely on card. You basically might be screwing yourself or whatever. You cannot even go to a soccer match relying on card because you screw yourself. Because even especially in festivals, I'm not sure if you've seen. So I was at a global concert, for example,
the Beyonce gig.
Yes, last year.
That was crazy.
The only ATM that was there is FNB. Yeah. And can you imagine this thing is full to capacity and everybody just wants to draw cash because at the stores you cannot buy any other way but cash and whatever. So as a youth, you withdraw more than five times or whatever. So
I think it goes even beyond youth. It's just as a basic bank offering, you would do that much more often.
Yeah. So you find, they'll say five withdrawals and also five free cash sends or whatever and so forth. But, like, you bound to exceed those, right? And once you've exceeded them, those costs balloon. So I can tell you personally, so I ballooned to a point where my costs were like 500-600.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but I'm paying for this bundle that's like 200. How do I get how to triple? And so forth. Like, that did not make sense. I was like, and I have friends use Investec cards and I have people with Black cards and other banks. And I'm like, I'm paying the same as them. but I ain't got no personal banker that I could call or whatever. Like, that just didn't make sense to me.
And that's why you moved.
That's why I moved to Capitec.
So let's then ask everyone else, if you have moved from whatever bank to Capitec, tell us why.
Yeah.
How has your experience been for anyone who's reluctant to move to Capitec? Share with us your thoughts, or rather what you would advise another person in terms of what they might be scared of or reluctant to move. So we're going to open it up to everyone to share with us.
And also, please, from the technological aspect, because when I used it, so personally, I'm not actively using it as much as I should be in terms of even the application itself. So when I first joined them, it was not the most technological app known to man. In fact, I would rank it was of the banks that I bank with, it was the least technological, but I heard that they've made some major improvements. So let us know, because I mean, Capitec is at 11 million customers. And to put that into perspective, 3 years ago they were at 8 million. Now they're at 11 million. So, and 11 million makes them the biggest, if not the second biggest retail bank in South Africa currently, right now. Okay. So, that's something. So that's what shifted my mind. I was like, maybe the stock is not overpriced at all. Because if you look at it, the chance of that bank potentially defaulting, from my understanding, is less than a bank that offers like long-term credit call and in terms of housing and whatever, because they would have paid like this 600,000 to X and hoping that they'll recover it from you because you're the one who applied for the loan. Whereas, and then if you default on that, then they should sit with this huge loss and whatever. So, I mean, that's the whole, if you look at the whole credit crisis in 2008, was all about people buying people's banks, selling debts, one of the clients' debts and whatever and so forth. So if you're not exposed to that market and you just, well, they are exposed, but at minimum, I mean, it's like micro loans and so forth, then it kind of makes sense that share price, not that I'm saying it's still reasonably priced, but it kind of makes sense why it's bigger than the other banks.
So you're going to buy Capitec shares?
Can I afford a Capitec share?
Can you afford not to buy it if you think it's performing as well as it is? Right?
I think nobody can not afford not to buy it, but I still believe like any other thing that rockets, I mean, look at your Bitcoins and so forth. Even people who are like, Bitcoin will never crash and whatever and so forth.
I want to buy Capitec.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy it by... Actually, I mean, look into a few more of the fundamentals that I would like examine. But from its performance over a long period and the numbers it's delivered, and just basically, I think they're at the forefront of understanding a customer or their needs, right?
Yeah.
Much better than I think the traditional banks have been able to thus far. And obviously, traditional banks suffer from all the legacy costs and systems that they have.
That's true.
So, I mean, based on how it is now, I think it would be a good investment to buy into. But that's Capitec, right? That's fine. And then, I mean, look, we touched on it earlier. Eskom, all of us know what's been happening now. Like I think it's almost like over discussed now.
Do we know what's happening? Does anybody know what's happening? I think everybody thinks they know what's happening because of what they've been fed on media, social media, and
you
so
don't
forth.
Believe any of it.
Then you hear another story from government, then government as well, and Eskom tell you another story. I mean, like let me just touch briefly on it. Like take like what happened last week ago. We were told we started with the load shedding on the Thursday or something like that. They were like, no, it's because of the cyclone in Mozambique. But if you
look at it, because of the cyclone?
Yes, but if you look at it in terms of what was happening in Mozambique at the time, I mean, the power capacity we're getting from Mozambique is like Eskom generates 40,000 megawatts capacity, right? So, but Mozambique, the plan is 1,900 or whatever that we had lost, right? But then we're already going, we started with like stage one and two, then already we're in stage four, and that's what we were told is the reason. It was only when that stage four went on to over the weekend, on Sunday and Monday, it was like, okay, it's now, it's actually because of the diesel problem, so, and water problem. So I feel like there's no transparency. So if there's no transparency, we can only but speculate. But that's, we don't know what's going on. And I think everybody believes it's because of the privatization issue.
Mm. And do you think Eskom should be completely privatized?
Not completely.
Okay. To what extent and why? And what would privatization mean for you and me on the street? Like, so what is the impact in my life, in my pocket, in any, what is privatization and what is the impact of it?
So the impact of privatization, privatization basically, so Eskom is currently state owned. So
yeah,
obviously if you're privatizing it now, it's no longer in the hands of the state, you're selling it, like, similar to what happened with Sasol a couple of years ago. So basically what you're basically now doing is you're selling it to another party, and that party will be responsible for the generation, the whole running of Eskom pretty much. And then by partial privatization, what we mean is that you encourage or make the market conducive enough for your independent producers to supplement the power that you're producing yourself, and okay, you do not take that full responsibility of now ensuring there's enough generating capacity and so forth.
Yeah.
So, look, for partial privatization to that extent, yes, I'm for it. There's also another partial privatization where you allow another private entity,
but why only partial? Why do you feel like it should, but only partial?
Because if it's private owned, look, a private owned company, the difference between a state owned company and a normal private owned company is the one is to maximize profit. The private owned is to maximize profit.
Yeah.
Right? The state owned is to ensure access to the community and to the people of South Africa. That's what it is for. Yes, but obviously that does not mean that access has to run at a loss and debt, whatever way, as that access is now costing.
Because the debt levels now could cripple our entire economy, man. And not just Eskom itself, but I mean, being a state owned entity, there's government guarantees that in theory, if they ever defaulted, everything would be called, everything, the government would now have to make payments on all of these guarantees that they provided. I mean, so
look, that's an organization. The problems that has come are organizational problems.
Okay.
It's not a thing. So organizational problems in terms of who did you deploy, and is the proper compliance and whatever, it really does an ethics of the people there. That's what it boils down to. So I hear the argument that people have left, experience people have left and whatever, but to even then, because this load shedding thing was there even 2008, from 2008 and so forth. So even then, it seems like from even when you watch your state captures and whatever, I know we might touch on that a little bit later on. It stems primarily because of corruption. So, and this corruption is an organizational thing. That's why you have some parties saying one particular political party is corrupt. Because if something is state-owned, that means it's run by the state, and the state is the party.
It's the party.
Yeah, so then if you yourself know you're running this thing, you need to clean it up. If you think...
Look, I just feel like, look, I mean, these are the same issues that have persisted over and over for a number of years across a number of entities.
Yeah.
I think the extent at which this load shedding has like impacted the economy. I mean, I heard a stat saying that each stage absorbs, or rather loses, the economy R1 billion. So, meaning that in a single day, stage one means 1 billion is lost. In a single day, if it's stage three,
yeah,
3 billion is lost. So, I mean, we can't just sit and wait for the guys to fix or like shape up Eskom. I mean, don't you think it's also an opportunity for guys to think of innovative ways for us to really have alternative energy sources? I mean, there's 100%. Like these guys coming with solar panels. 100%. There's all these different alternatives. Instead of sitting and waiting, do you not think it's an opportunity?
Definitely, it is an opportunity. I mean, for other players to come in.
Mm.
And I mean, if you're young and whatever, even if you're not young, if you have a company or whatever, it's definitely, if you can provide solutions, I think it's an opportunity though. But the only issue is the government, because in as much as a problem arises an opportunity, the biggest problem in anything, is, be it corporate or government, is legislation. And do people really want that solution? Because you can tell people, hey, you have a leaking roof.
Yeah.
I can fix that for you. But do they want you to fix it? As opposed to, I can fix it for myself.
Yeah, but look, the issue now is that, yes, the people who are, and sticking with your example, that can fix it for themselves, yes, but there's a bigger population that... Yes. Is still subject to this load shedding, right? So I think it's not going to be easy, it's not going to be instant,
yeah,
but there will be a day where we're not going to rely solely on Eskom to like keep the lights on, and we can't.
So
we cannot be 11 years after the 2008 issue, or the first time we really experienced load shedding to such a scale, and we still in 2019 can come back from work and there's no power. I think the fourth industrial revolution is a very big movement and an opportunity for people to just make use of what's out there. We can't be dependent on the state for all of our basic needs anymore.
100%.
We just 100%. Can't. I mean, people are losing their jobs. I mean, think of a small businesses. Like, there's manufacturing entrepreneurs who their operations depend on power being available. I mean, they can't afford generators. Mm-hmm. They haven't necessarily had to factor in the cost of a generator, which they do need it, but I mean, you know, not everyone is at that level yet.
I'd like us to touch on this, reflect on this some other day, but like, as we say, we cannot depend on the state. Another argument would be like, okay, who are we supposed to depend on then? Mm. Like, are you saying we must depend on private sector that's shedding jobs? I mean, there's the likes of your Standard Banks closing branches. I mean, if you're gonna go and rely on private sector will always, as we talk about your fourth industrial revolution, they will find a way to do things technologically and with less resources needed. So I'm for like innovation, but don't let innovation that makes people sit at home.
No, but I mean, look, so I think also with this fourth industrial revolution thing, I think the mindset that we've had initially, human nature, is to fear change.
Yeah.
It's to fear for your jobs and all these different things, which is very natural and understandable.
Yeah.
But just like anything, if you don't adapt to it, you will die and suffer, right?
Yes.
And instead of being trapped in that fear, can we not, just like now with this Eskom thing, it's an opportunity,
yeah,
for number one, for someone to think of all these alternative sources.
Yes.
Let's look into alternative sources, and by that's job opportunities waiting to be created, right? So I think the mindset that's going to survive in this revolution is the one that looks at it from an opportunity perspective, as opposed to, I mean, those jobs lost at the bank you just mentioned, that is very unfortunate. I mean, that's going to put a lot of strain on a number of families.
Yeah.
But we today need everyone who can identify these opportunities that exist are going to create even more jobs. Because that's essentially what our economy needs.
Yeah.
We have the highest unemployment rates that have ever existed.
100%.
And we can't just sit. It's not going to be easy, don't get me wrong. But we do need to take action.
Okay.
Yeah, I at least that's how I see it.
Yeah, we need to.
I mean, repo rates at least didn't go up, didn't change, right? Did you think it would stay?
I personally didn't think it will stay.
Yeah.
Given the fact, so I understand why it stood, but also those reasons why it stood is also one of the reasons.
Did they give them what were some of those? I don't get to see the.
Well, they gave their oil price. Consumer inflation as well being within the target range and so forth. But I mean, I think that the biggest thing, you know, with in terms of what South African interest rate, the thing that I've seen, the biggest player is obviously is the inflation targeting. That's the biggest driver for whether or not they just determines them increasing or decreasing the rates. But I mean, if you look at it, like the one of the things that the governor mentioned is the rand depreciated by over 6% to the US dollar.
What, after the announcement?
No. From the last prior meeting to date.
Okay.
So that is, the last prior meeting was in Jan. So that is huge.
Okay.
That is huge. So
what are the norms so that everyone listening can have some context? Because I mean, you can understand 6% being huge and someone else is like, this is 6%. So what are like the norms where we would have comfort around the depreciation not being so much?
So 3% is the norm, I would say. And also another thing, basically to add on to that, is that like, so the knock-on effects of this being of the rent depreciating, it eventually has a knock-on effect on your inflation, because the value of the rent is less, so the value of the money you're carrying in your pocket is less, can buy you less things. So that's why you would need to potentially to push up your interest rate to keep the inflation down and to attract that investment, so that your currency now has that potential power to attract obviously people, then that because the rand is currently undervalued. So if you know your currency is also undervalued at the current moment,
and that's your game, you understand that even a lot better, right?
Yeah. So if it's currently undervalued, and you've seen this, because every meeting I hear the rand is undervalued. When has the rand ever been overvalued or fairly valued? One can maybe say it was the time of Cyril, when we just announced in 2017, when we won the elections. But
undervalued though, because I mean, if someone says to me, because I have a little bit of an understanding when it comes to equities, right? Yeah. So if someone says to me, the Apple shares undervalued, right?
Yeah.
It means that what it's actually worth is more than what it's currently trading at.
Yes, right?
It's trading at a discount. Yes. So if someone says a currency is undervalued,
yes,
what do they mean by that, like practically?
So what it means is that that currency is trading at a discount, in the sense that like it should be trading, if it's trading now at 14.60 to the dollar, it should be trading at 13 rand, for example. So what would cause the currency to be undervalued?
Yes.
Would be your,
I'd like to know that,
your political issues and so forth, the political instability, your load sheddings and so forth, because there's uncertainty. So uncertainty creates a bit of undervaluing, because you cannot price that uncertainty. You get what I'm saying? So that uncertainty in itself as well,
yeah,
can create a bit of undervaluing, in terms of, if we assume that we knew this, there was no load shedding, or we knew whatever and so forth, then mm-hmm. the pair would be trading at 13.50, or for example. And so that's what creates, well, that creates that gap over there. But like I said, my biggest issue with, I thought that this thing was gonna go up today. I thought they would push it up, because
why?
If we've been singing the same song that our currency is undervalued, or whatever, then what do? You try to like get more people, or whatever. If you see people are not seeing whatever,
mm.
you don't have to make. I'm not saying make a zero. I mean, make a 100%, 100 basis points increase or whatever. No, I'm not saying that. Even a simple 0.25.
Yeah. That's
it. You can always take it back next quarter you meet, or whenever you meet. You can always take it back.
But I mean, look, so a lot of people we know now, yeah. right? I mean, they have car loans.
Yeah.
Some of them have now bought homes.
Yeah.
I mean, that increase in interest rates...
Yeah.
What does that do to them? Like, that they're gonna feel that, right?
Yes. They will feel it. But I think the other thing is to look at it on the upside as well, is if you've been saving, you will also feel it.
If you've been saving,
yes.
And
if you've been saving, if you've been investing, there is an upside to it, because whatever it is, if you've been saving, then the interest rates associated with some of your investments would
yeah.
increase your whatever, because some of them you find that they linked per se to the repo rate.
Mm.
I know a couple of banks that offer that type of investment. No, and by linked, I don't mean that they're the same percentage. I mean that,
but it moves in line with
yes.
the repo rate.
Yes. And another thing is, as well, is with regards, obviously, if you're investing in like shares or whatever it is, it's always to whatever you're investing in must be the return. You should benchmark it against that interest rate that you would get at a bank and so forth. So,
I mean, and now that we are yes. talking about investing,
yes.
right? I know a lot of people who are not saving.
Yeah.
Right, because they're still young,
yeah.
you know, they're still gonna just enjoy
yeah.
like the money that they
yes.
have coming their
yes.
way. They still
yes.
have like years to come
yes.
of like future salaries
yes.
and whatnot. What do you think about that type of mindset? And for someone who's now like ready to start saving or investing, how do you get into it? Like, what are like some of it at a basic level? What must you consider? And I think it'd be fair to invite everyone who's listening now to share maybe what have you struggled with, or what are some of the difficulties you faced in trying to save or trying to invest. And if you're one of the few that have already started, you can maybe share advice on how did you start?
Yeah.
What did you consider?
Nah, 100%.
But yeah, maybe you can share. It's like at a high level.
So for me, I'd say the quickest way, if anything, just take your salary, mm. right? God bless you if you don't have a car right now.
Hey, man.
Because
yeah.
that's a blessing, because you can still restructure your finances. So if you don't have any of those, a car, or a house that you're paying for.
Yeah.
Currently, you're fairly more blessed than the guy that actually owns it right now. So what you can do is your income divided into three parts. One third is expenses. So expenses include your rent, your car, and your groceries. One third should go to that.
Are you saying your rent and your car and your groceries should be a third of your salary?
Third. One third.
Is this your net salary?
This is your net salary.
Oh my God.
Yes. And if not, then don't buy that car.
You can't afford it.
You can't afford it.
Like,
yeah.
You, it can leave, the installment can leave your account and there's money left.
Yeah.
But if in total,
yes,
it's more than a third, yes, you can't afford it.
Yes. Because then you should have then a third of
you
that.
Know, most people don't think like that.
Yes.
Right.
Then, no, 100%.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Including myself, I didn't think like that.
So then a third should go to savings.
Okay.
Right. So then a third should go to investments. So obviously, if you're buying a house to stay in, that's considered investment. So then that one third of expenses now, you have a bigger pool because that's an investment.
Okay.
But a car at no particular point, unless that car is generating you income,
yeah,
it's not an investment.
So a car is not an investment.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you have that, then I mean, look at it. If you have two thirds that you have as separated as one third is for investments and one third is for savings,
yeah,
you do understand that even when the repo rate, whatever, goes up and so forth, and your investments are sort of linked, or you know, wherever you're investing, you're trying to beat that return, right?
That's
you
smart.
You know that you two thirds is greater than one third, so whatever happens there, it's only affecting one third, where two thirds are also increasing,
yes,
as well. So you know, you actually like
almost you almost still covered.
Yeah, you're still covered, and still you're covered. Happier or whatever. You are, you know, not that you be like, yeah, the most ecstatic, but you know that two thirds of,
yes,
your whatever, it beats one third and whatever. So even whatever, one third, if they're increasing a percentage of your expenses when they raise the rate, you know, then that means 1% of your investment is also increasing, 1% of your savings is also increasing. So you know, now you have 2% that nets out minus 1% from the expenses, you have 1% increase. So that's basically it. So
sure. And that's not easy.
Yeah, that's not
easy. Didn't you struggle when you started?
Ah, who said I'm on this, man?
Come on. No, I mean, like, so look, maybe it's not a perfect science, right? But I mean, the point at which you're not saving anything,
yes,
to the point where you have started and whatever, like, so what becomes difficult is it that, because I know for me, like, you start out, like, when you start, like, working or whatever, right? You start living a certain lifestyle, right? And once you start, it's very hard to cut back and like switch into like a saving or investing type of mindset, right? So what are some challenges that you feel like you faced or a person might face? And what do you say to that? Because I mean, you can't keep on not saving or not investing because you have to think long term.
So what I'll say is, if you are like a graduate and you just started working,
yeah,
and so forth, 2 years,
okay,
or so, allow yourself to enjoy that money. So this one third and whatever, you can at least have a third dedicated to investment and savings, and the other one, enjoy, go on all the trips, go wherever, and so forth.
YOLO.
Yes.
Okay.
Because potentially the next time you'll be able to live like that is after 10 years once you start on this thing, because investment, you do not get rich quick and whatever and so forth.
And some people feel like that, though. Like, I mean, we're in an age where, I mean, people call it the microwave era, where instant gratification like drives a lot of the decisions and actions that we take.
Yes.
And investing doesn't necessarily give you that. You could have been lucky, invested in Bitcoin while it was doing well, cashed in very quickly.
Yeah.
But in the traditional sense, it's not. It's not that.
Yes. And if as you're young, if you buy a car, whatever car you buy, just make sure you buy a car that you think, even if after 6 years or 5 years or whatever, you've kept it for that long, you can keep it beyond that period. That should be always. You must not buy a car that you know you need to dispose after 2 years or 3 years. Even if you take it on a residual, because you can take it on a residual, but you must know that you would be capable, You might buy it on a residual now, but you know, in 3 years' time,
yeah,
you would have gotten a better salary and you would be able to now carry it and carry it through even the residual. But you must be able to keep it beyond 5 years, because the problem is, if you're not able to keep it beyond 5 years and you're changing cars every 2 years, you're changing effectively 2 or 3 extra K that you're adding to whatever you've been paying for the, your current car. So there is no growth,
okay,
in terms of that. So,
so I think, you know what, I think this, what we've discussed so far, right, yeah, I think it's so important that it almost needs us to really go into greater detail than what we have now, really break out the components. And I want us to almost like on a weekly basis give like the people on our platform like challenges,
and goals,
right?
Yes.
Be it saving goals, investing goals, anything of the sort like that, to really start building the culture of saving and investing. Because I mean, we're trying to think long term.
Yes.
So everything we've discussed now, people are gonna please share, jump in, right? Contribute. This is now our platform. Everyone, as soon as you become involved in our discussions, it's everyone's platform.
No, 100%, 100%. SA Fashion Week, man. SA Fashion Week. I know you missed a drip, man. I know you had a, you had an image that went viral.
Those were the drip days.
Those were the drip days. Nah. They say
When was the Fashion Week? I really feel like I don't have a clue of when it was. What happened? Who was featured? Like, is it still a big event?
It's still a big event. I'm actually sure. Do you have beef? Did they not get you as a model? Is this what it is? Where you have an ex and now you pretend not to know what's happening, you don't even remember your ex's birthday because you broke up.
Is this how you deal with your exes? No, man. Look, okay. Between you and me, everything. Have you ever sat down and watched a Fashion Week show?
Nah, I've honestly never watched it.
Right. And the thing is, at least from my perspective, some of the stuff I've seen on the shows, I've never felt like it, there's a lot of it that I can just wear.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't feel real to me.
Okay.
I don't know what are your thoughts. I mean, just like, say, for example, I'm not going to sacrifice the time to watch something I don't feel like is applicable to me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the Fashion Week?
Yeah, I think I have I share the similar belief with you. I feel like it's most of the stuff, things you cannot wear and things that you cannot afford. And so it's I don't know, but I know they had Edgar's yesterday.
That Edgar's?
Yeah, at the Fashion Week. They were showcasing the winter items, and I saw a couple of bucket hats.
Those still a thing?
People still wear bucket hats. That's the thing. I don't know if they're bringing them back.
No, you can't bring them back. I mean, between you and me, I went through like a mini phase. I had a couple.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people were pissed that we were calling them bucket hats.
Yeah.
And people were like, nah, man, that's a sport dealer.
Yes.
But I mean, and you see the fashion things coming back after some time. But it's too soon.
Yeah. I was also shocked. I was like, this thing was in fashion like 3 years ago.
It's already
coming back.
Yeah.
But as usual, man, it looked like a great event.
Yeah.
Look, of all the fashion shows that I've watched, well, let me say yesterday's show, it didn't look as exciting. I saw a couple of celebrities on the gram or there and so forth. But it didn't look as exciting. But I know the performances. Shoma Josie had a nice performance as well.
She's always energetic, isn't
she? Yeah. And shout out to DJ Arch Jr. as well.
Is he still doing his thing?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
He had them going. Like,
there was a conspiracy, right? People were like, that. Those are like, that's pre-recorded and shit like that.
I can say I don't blame them for thinking so. Not that I'm saying they're right, But I don't blame them for thinking so.
Because of his age.
Because of his age, man. Like, also the music and the mixing. Like, it's hard to believe. We're not saying it's impossible, but it's hard to believe. And if you're honest with yourself, your very first time you heard it, you're still skeptical. So our people remain skeptical for some time. Maybe until you see him live and you see him there, like, you go there with your USB and be like, yo, this is the music, mix, or whatever it is. Or you go there with your CDJs and be like, mix, or whatever. Then you'd have that belief. So I can't say I blame them.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, the kid is making coin.
He's making a lot of money. He's making... Imagine growing up in, like, being him. Like, as early as... what? How old was he? 3, 4, whatever. Yes. I don't know. And he's making a lot of money. I hope his parents are, you know, investing that money, either in himself, reinvesting it in whatever he's doing, be it shows, be it to build his brand, but also just building the future. Imagine having a kid and that kid funding itself. Like, how awesome would that be?
That is brilliant. That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
But I mean, before we forget about, like, Fashion Week as a whole, shout out to the designers.
Definitely,
I mean, I think it's a craft, it's a skill, it's a talent, it's an art, and not a lot of people, like, you know, have the guts to pursue that.
I'm actually interested, like, if anybody has seen, was there at the show, let me know. I know last year we had, oh my god, did you just see Nicki Minaj? Oh my,
we're gonna go to Nicki Minaj and her arch nemesis.
Oh, okay.
We're going to touch on that, right?
Oh, all right. All right.
We're going to touch on that. I actually want to talk to you about that.
All right. All right. So, as I was saying, yes, there was this Project Runway South Africa. Okay. I actually am interested with the designer. I don't know if they had a partnership with Edgars or whatever. I could be wrong. But either way, even if they didn't have a partnership with Edgars, I would like to know, like, was this lady's stuff showcased over there or not?
What the winner of Project
Runway? Yes, of Project Runway.
Or you see if that translated into this year. Okay,
yes,
I mean,
yes. Because most of the times people win competitions and
they disappear.
They disappear and so forth. So I'm really interested in terms of that.
And then talking about that, AKA, right? Remember when he ran that competition?
Yeah.
Of the guy who designed his album cover.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know where that guy is now?
I have no idea who he is. I have no idea.
We're gonna pause this quickly.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen.
So we're talking about the guy, AKA, selected for being the designer of his cover art.
Yeah.
For his album. Do you know where that guy is now?
I have no idea where he is, man.
What do you think should happen, like, when someone wins a competition like that? Because it's good, because he's putting people on. I think most musicians, if not all, and not just musicians. I think, I mean, if you're an artist, if you are, like, I think apprenticeship is very important, especially coming back to youth unemployment.
Yes.
People are talking about opening up the industry and all these different things. I mean, we need new talent. Mm-hmm. We need new creativity. Mm-hmm. We need new, just like a fresh perspective on things. I don't know where the guy is now.
So, I can't understand, like, if, well, he was employed by Beam Group. AKA's company, and
that's not there anymore.
Yeah, that company don't longer exist. It's gone. The process of liquidation or insolvency. Like, so, it's not just only him. If we need to look at it that aspect, that company had staff. So,
fair.
I guess this has just happened. And shout out to, well, AKA. What I can say is, I mean, starting a company, that was what he did together with his business partners. So it's just unfortunate that they had to dissolve for whatever reason it is. But with any type of entrepreneurship, I think it's just, it does what happened over there.
Yeah.
it's what happens daily to most businesses, where you and I can enter into a business or whatever. I mean, for whatever reason, we sell, dissolve, or maybe the business is not going great as we had imagined and so forth, and we part ways or whatever it is, or sell the company. So that is just the nature. There will be multiple people affected by this. So it's just unfortunate, but I would like to hear what, if anybody knows where this nigga is,
yeah, like,
can tell us,
tag him,
yeah,
ask him. I mean, we should someday have him here,
yeah,
and tell us how, like, how was his experience, like, what is he doing yes. now, yes. what advice does he have for people,
yes,
like, whoever get into that type yes. of situation.
What has he learned from working there?
What has he learned?
Yeah.
Has it been a good experience?
Yes.
I'm actually curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I mean, but look, still, at the end of it, shout out to AKA.
Yeah.
He's had a very good year so far.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he won the Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon, man.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon Award.
Hey, man, I saw Cairo pronounce it better than me. But yeah. That's big.
That's huge, man.
Because you're on an international stage. And whilst being on that, you're accepting an award on an international stage, and I could be wrong, it was at the main event where you would have accepted this particular prize. So the other thing that also about these awards, I know about these American awards yeah. and our people going there, why I advocate for it is also the networking that you can do while you're over there. You don't have to necessarily win the award,
yeah.
but from being there, you can network, you can do a whole lot of, this is just pretty much the same as you going to the States, actually better than you just going to the States, where there's,
yeah,
you and just going to the States for, in hoping of, I'll try to make, because there you have, there are your guys, you don't have to know, get to P. Diddy directly, you yeah. can get to P. Diddy's, guy or whatever and so forth. So yeah,
and essentially I think that's what these awards, for me, that's what they represent. So because I think I saw a tweet where someone was like, we need to stop like over glorifying like American awards because yes. we're seeking validation yes. and blah blah blah, which is one aspect, and I don't want to, you know, like look down on it or minimize it, but to your point, I think the key thing is that it's a networking type of platform. It's a, you know, the world can have a view and focus on who is this guy, how can we work with him, and surely
yeah
he's big enough, and excuse me, he can use that platform he now has to put on even more South African people.
Yeah.
Just like the whole Sway thing, right?
No, 100%. I mean, I think a thing we must not forget is America is known for its entertainment industry. Entertainment yeah. is America. So if you are trying to compete or become great in entertainment, what do you do in any industry
yeah.
or whatever? You need a mentor. So the you going there is you going to learn and get mentorship from these niggas and so forth. So we need to, like, there's a positive aspect to this and whatever. That's why I would encourage going there and so forth, because you go in there to uplift yourself and know how these guys did it and how to move and yeah. so forth. And obviously not everything will typically, that they tell you would typically, you'll take it and apply it to your environment, South Africa, because it'd be you, South Africa is unique from the States. Although if you look at current sales of American sales, I mean, we'll touch on that maybe if we have time, but I saw like album sales, weekly sales of like 40,000, 20,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't that we have South African artists that do that? And there's people in the States that are doing those numbers and they're considered big artists.
Yeah, but I mean,
what does that say for our artists then?
I think that's for example, a symptom of just like change, right? We're in a digital age now. Those numbers are also, wait, those sales, they now include streaming too.
Yes.
But is it a new phenomenon? Those numbers, those kind of numbers? Because, I mean, look, big artists like Lil Wayne, right, last year when he dropped, he still did
now,
good numbers.
he did grow good numbers.
So, for example, I don't think you can compare, at least in this current stage, a Lil Pump to... Because, I mean, in that context, he's still a smaller artist, right? In the sense that he's still going to, like, grow and become a Drake or all of those big guys. And from our side, you have the Nasty C's, you have the AKAs.
Yeah.
Those are our massive artists, right? So, I mean, are those 40,000 first week comparable to South Africa?
One would say Casper sold 40,000 same day. But we'll touch.
You're poking. You're poking a very, very sensitive topic there.
We'll touch on that topic at a later stage.
We should actually have a show. We should have another platform where a conversation where we get into that.
Yeah, because it's really interesting.
We're going to get into that. We should, actually.
Yeah, but I see your boy still on AKA there. I see your boy has got a endorsement deal coming out, man.
Yeah, I know. I saw he said, like, a big announcement's coming. He's been in he's in Turkey now.
Yeah. I think he's on his way back.
He's on his way back.
Yeah, but, But
wasn't it the Huawei?
Yeah. Yes.
It's the Huawei deal.
Yes. So what everybody...
That's insane, guys.
But my issue, what I want to find out from you is, what are you expecting from this deal? What are your expectations? Is it just going to be, he's just a brand ambassador?
So, from what I've observed on his career so far, right? It took a lot longer than I would have thought. But when the Reebok deal came out, right? It was... From what I believe, after a number of offers he had, would have said no to. When Cruz came,
yes,
it was after Ricky Rick and all these other guys have had and deals with other alcohol brands.
Yes,
but he said that he's been waiting for a deal that is exactly speaking to who he is.
Yes,
and if he's gonna attach his name to it,
yes,
give me something. Right? Yes. And you see it with the whole cruise thing, with the whole AKA bottle and whatever.
Yes.
And that's what everyone should be moving towards too, right? If someone can come to you and identify you and say, hey, look, I see you as an opportunity to grow my brand.
Yeah.
This value that is attached to who you are, and that value over and above, like, instant, like, money.
Yeah.
Give me some equity, man. And I don't know. I don't know to what extent.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's fewer cell phone companies or tech companies at that scale. So I don't know. What do you think?
Look, in terms of cell phone deals, this is not a first in South Africa.
No, of course
not. For a hip-hop artist, we had...
Yeah, Casper also has... AG.
He had it with AG Mobile previously, and he had... I don't know.
Where is that now?
Don't go there.
No, but I know he has a deal with Samsung, right?
Yeah, so that company, I think it liquidated or insolvency and so forth.
Either way, but, man, shout out to Casper. Yeah. Like, I mean, I honestly will give him the credit that he's in addition with a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I see that he tries to take ownership of everything. But he has contributed significantly to pushing... like the boundaries of what hip-hop and hip-hop artists can do. But you're talking about his deal?
Yeah, so like what I would say is, so with AKA's deal, I'm hoping is better than just being a phase. Because I'll tell you, with Casper's one, I was disappointed with the whole Samsung deal. Because right now, I don't know, man. It just seems like it's just a phase. And they've had phases before besides hip-hop artists at Samsung.
Remember Maps was there.
Yeah, they. So I forgot the other ones as well. Ayanda Taveta, could be wrong, but maybe she's just for Samsung Pay. But like...
But you're saying no, though.
But here's my thing. Like, I think right now we must look at things as we live in a world of... You must give me intangibles. You must give me something, like, besides money. Like, I can go and get that money. Samsung, I can go... Hey, Samsung, if I dump you, whatever, I can go to maybe an Apple hypothetical will approach me and offer me money and whatever and so forth. And money as an artist dies because you need to maintain your lifestyle and whatever. We need to, we need people who are, and you need to sustain yourself as an artist. I mean, especially if you're at that age where you're having children and all those stuff. So I think we live in that world. So with Casper's one, I was expecting something similar, maybe to like Jay-Z. What happened? I don't remember whether, was it the, which album was it? Magna Carta. Or what was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting...
Where it was like pre-sold on the...
Yeah. So, well, obviously Casper's album has been out, but I expected something, you get what I'm saying? Something like that. And whereas you're not just a face or whatever, because pretty much, I mean, we live in Insta Labs. Yeah, they could have taken an Insta Lab with the same following as Casper or whatever, of a female. And of a female would probably resonate even more. Because a female resonates both with male and whatever, with females. Because with males, that sex appeal and whatever and so forth. And like,
let's But can't you say the same with a guy? I mean, we'll relate to him as dudes, but girls will also have...
But girls will not relate. So let's just say if you put Bonang as the face of Samsung.
Shout out to Bonang as well. She's also launched that new, is it a champagne?
Yes, yeah, champagne.
Is it a champagne?
Yes. Yeah,
I don't know.
Have you tasted it? You sound like you've tasted it, and you're having your doubts as to whether that's champagne.
I haven't tasted it. What I will say, I saw this week, right, and I understand it to be a marketing tool, right?
Yeah.
So she launched it, and we should look. We should get ourselves a bottle. I know we have something happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
We have
something this weekend. We get a bottle, we taste it, and we tell people what we think. Either way, I think it's amazing, man.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people who have their own alcohol brands. So now people go to like the shops, right? And then they don't find it there.
Yeah.
So you post that on social media like, ah, it's gone, like, yo. So what it does, it creates the impression that it's selling out.
As a butter.
Right? And then, you know, being the millennials that we are, FOMO, you start feeling like you're missing out, but not like taste because it's selling out everywhere. I think it's a great tactic, don't get me wrong. And I don't want to assume that it's a tactic, but either way, I think this has been a good step on her behalf. She's almost, whether we like to believe it or not, she's made champagne like cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely she's done that. And I think even for, especially to the female audience, and I feel like females now resonate, before her, she launched House of Bonan, resonated with champagne more or whatever, like, yeah. Now you have girls who previously were drinking ciders, now they're telling you they want champagne.
Yeah.
You're like, say what, when did shit escalate so quick, now we want champagne? Like, yeah,
Bonang's making life hard.
Yeah, so
Bonang's making life hard.
Amen. If you are trying to get a girl, man, That woman is just making your life harder. But also is that nigga who's dating Sierra. But we'll touch on him some other day.
Oh my god,
that nigga is making it hard for us niggas out there.
No, but I mean,
like,
yo,
like,
I know so many people who hate that guy.
I know a lot of people who can't wait for him to fuck up.
Like, but why are we like that though?
Like,
why are we like that? Why are we like that?
Cause he's seeming like to be a movie. Like, that's the thing. And we as guys, I think we know, like, most of us, it's when, like, we know or we assume it's impossible to be that perfect without you. Like, you'll only treat your girl that good if you know you're getting somebody else is satisfying you, and you just like, you want to make. You know what I'm saying? They could be that. They could be. We know a niggas usually like.
Yeah.
If he's doing that, you're like, this man.
What I will say is that if I remove just society or the male opinion has been on this guy, I do think it's important for women and young girls growing up to still be aware that those type of guys do exist. I mean, in the past couple of years, we've had men are trash and examples of men are trash all over the internet, all over the media, all over our own society. It's been there. It's real. It happens. And you still want people to be aware that there are good guys. And yes, it might be rubbed in your face here and there, so, but it's good to some extent.
Man.
You don't agree?
Like, are they good guys or are they good people with money? That's what it is.
What is a good guy?
Huh?
What is a good... ladies and females listening, what do you think of this guy? What's his name?
Russell. Yes.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think of this guy? Yeah. Does he seem legit? Are you impressed with how he's treated Sierra? Also, fellas, what do you guys think? Obviously, you feel like he's covering up something, or there must be something.
I'm saying that is a possibility.
It's too good to be true.
That is when you know, man. you know, man. You know,
ignorant millennials.
Also, I would like to say as well is that, is this really being a good guy or is it being a guy with money? Because that's the thing, man. Like, you know, like somebody will be like, oh, I gave money to this child home or whatever, or I gave... why is it monetary things are classified as good deeds? Like, you've been a good person. You know, what are you saying? Are you saying me being poor makes me a bad person?
Nah, man, but...
Because that's what it boils down to. Like, I'm sure if you loved your wife, Bafana, and you had that money... I mean,
yes,
you would do that.
Of course I would.
Yeah.
But relatively to my current ability to afford, for example, anything of value I can give to my partner or anything like that. Yeah. I think as guys, we should, instead of, say, for example, a guy, you see some dude bought his girl like a Lamborghini, right?
That's
the money angle.
Yo, right? Sorry to interrupt you. Yo, to our viewers, you probably heard that noise in the background. That's one of the guys we stay with. Shout out to that. That nigga just took the quickest shower he's ever taken. I'm actually amazed, man. Continue there.
That was quicker than normal.
Yeah, dude.
That was quicker than normal. I wasn't going to say anything, but we'll introduce him to everyone a bit later.
Yeah.
On our next conversations. But yeah, I mean, I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
We've had a nice chat.
Nah, definitely, definitely.
We've had a nice chat.
Millennials, ignorant millennials.
Ignorant millennials. I mean, look, there's a lot of things we've said, discussed, that might be very, very ignorant. And some of it might be on purpose.
Yes.
And that's our goal of this conversation is that, you know, we open up the platform for everyone to teach us. Yeah. We want to learn.
Yeah.
We want to learn. We're asking to learn. And through that, everyone else will learn and we're teaching each other.
Yes.
Right. And yeah, man, look, Kat, thank you.
Nah, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I enjoyed that. So... next week, we will touch base and have another conversation on ignorant millennials.
We out.
We out. Sharp.